This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Yeah, Eastside Chris, I want to get into that because this is a significant story for Colorado State. With the sounds like they're getting tight ends left and right, but this one in particular, very special story. But to answer my last question, Kevin, I feel like maybe my expectations were so high for CSU just because of my respect for Ali Farokmanesh. Are they an average basketball team today?
No, I think they're slightly above average when you look at the total. I mean, they're what, 360 or whatever it is, college basketball teams. CSU's top 100, which means you're in the top third or better, a little better than the top third. But they're not great. They're not an NCAA tournament team right now. It's going to be interesting to see how this changes and evolves, because in a lot of ways they're kind of in the same spot they were this time
last year. Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying I expect them to do what last year's team did. But yeah, they're struggling. The loss Tuesday was just a flat out bad.
That's rough. Just
a bad loss. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts or sugarcoating or anything. Bad loss. They're, you know, a little bit above average, but they're not great. And right now, technically, they're kind of on the lower end of the Mountain West. I think in actual reality, they're middle of the pack Mountain West. But they need to improve.
How much of a difference would Kyle Jorgensen make right now? Does he change that from a little bit above average to, oh, well, maybe they could make a run like last year?
Yeah, I mean, he changed a good bit, you know, because a lot of the problems we're seeing on offense, not saying he would fix all of them, but he would help them. Some of the spacing, ball movement, and even just freeing up other guys. You know, if let's say he were playing like he was pre-injury, that's the risk. Is, okay, Jorgensen comes back, and, you know, he's going to be back sooner rather than later. But that doesn't mean he's going to be the guy he was December 15th or whatever. We don't know. That's a long injury absence he's going through. But it'll help, and, you know, they basically have never played with their ideal rotations, because Bimba, the first time he played those two games, it was so brief. I mean, he played 27 total minutes, so basically nothing. And now he's been back a couple games, but obviously Jorgensen's out. So they just don't have they've never had their ideal lineup. So we'll see what that means. But they need to improve.
I mean, it's a significant – those are two significant injuries there, because as much as I like Nicola Joppa, he's not your consistent big man there, and you lose both of those guys already with Mimba, and tried to come back, and then when Jorgensen went down early, those are significant losses.
Yeah, and there's a trickle down effect. I mean, Augie Kidulis had to play some games out of position, and he's a guy that was, you know, I think kind of struggling with adjustment anyway. To his credit, he's improved and is doing some good stuff. You know, there's even the, you know, Josh Pasquarelli gets a lot more attention from defenses because they don't have to worry about, you know, Jorgensen being the A option. Now the A option becomes Pasquarelli. Try and shut him down. He's slumped pretty significantly in conference play. So there is a series of impacts from these injuries. But you know, Ali Farokmanesh has said this before. No one cares.
Yeah.
Everyone's dealing with stuff. We have to figure it out.
Yeah. And as you mentioned, it was a rough loss to Fresno State. I mean, at one point, Kevin, I think in the first half they made, what, 2 3-pointers?
Yeah, it was weird. So they started fine enough. Games at Fresno are always weird because, one, Fresno's usually pretty physical and tough. And it's a big gym, and no one is there. There's like 36 people in that gym. So it's a weird game always. But CSU started okay. It's kind of slow, but they hit two of their first four three-pointers. Rex Steiner was 2 for 2. He hits a three to put them up 12-10. They're 2 for 4 from three. You're thinking, hey, you know, pretty solid start. And then Fresno goes on like a 7-0 run to kind of, yeah, not that that's huge control. That's 17 or 18-12 at that point. But CSU just kept missing threes. They missed through the rest of the first half. They missed 15 straight until early in the second half. And that's crazy. Because you have a lot of good shooters, but, man, rough.
Yeah, what are the odds they're all going to just miss?
Yeah, and it was an interesting mix of, I think a lot of those shots were fine. Like, it's not like they're jacking up super contested threes, but there are also times, and Ali said this after game, of like, yeah, it's not a bad shot, but let's go inside and get a better shot because we have better shots available, but they're kind of meek in doing that and trying to do that. But then they make the big run early in the second half. They turned a 16-point deficit into a tie in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it was
super
quick.
Fast. Yep. And you're thinking, okay, they've settled in. And then they basically just backslide, let Fresno control the game the rest of the way. So just super weird and, like I say, really disappointing performance.
Big one tomorrow night at Boise State. That'll be on FS1. Yeah. So we'll see how they kind of respond.
Two desperate teams.
Yeah, very desperate, yeah.
Boise's lost four in a row.
I understand it. It's crazy. And you know, we had one person, I think, tweeting at me after the loss to Fresno that said, hey, they're going to go on a run like they did last year. They just need a player on this roster to step up like Neek did. Kevin, I mean, I like these players. I don't know them a whole lot.
If I have $1 million, I'm a millionaire.
They don't have a Neek Clifford. I mean, yeah. Who's the closest thing to Neek Clifford on this team?
There isn't.
There's nothing
close. And that's not a knock on anyone. Everyone knows. There's not Neek Clifford.
The guy was a first-round draft pick.
Yeah. yeah.
There's just so.
Now, that doesn't mean this team can't go on a run.
But they don't have that one guy that can just,
yeah,
like, get on my
back. I think we're seeing that a little bit right now of like, okay, when things are tough, who kind of grabs the game by the horns and, you know, rights everything. Because, yeah, there's not Neek Clifford on this team. And everyone knew there wouldn't be Neek Clifford on this team. That doesn't mean they can't be quite good. I think this team can make a run, but it's not going to be because Neek Clifford comes in and has 36 points at Boise State or whatever.
I had tweeted something after the Fresno State game because I was kind of the mindset, maybe let's just call it what it is. This feels like more or less an average team. And you're saying slightly above either way. But I guess there's nothing wrong with that because it's Ali Farokhmanesh's rookie year as head coach. I think my expectations were probably a little crazy. I didn't necessarily think they'd be a March Madness team. I just thought maybe they'd start out pretty hot in the Mountain West Conference. And, yeah, here we are kind of up and down.
Yeah, I think speaks to several things. One, just how much the standard has risen at Colorado State.
Yeah, true.
I mean, a decade ago, you know, kind of post Miles, you know, Stacy rode way up and down, but to be a guaranteed top 100 team every year wasn't what CSU was. Now, they're a top 100 team barely, and it kind of feels like the sky is falling to some folks. So that shows how the sky has, the floor has risen. Now, I think it's also fair to be disappointed because, I mean, Ali has said it, everyone has said, you know, we're not coming here to not win. But I think it is also naive to think everything would be smooth with a first-year coach, 8 new players, and then you throw in, like, say, okay, let's start Mountain West, play well if you're CSU. Well, the first Mountain West game, your best player gets hurt 3-4 minutes, whatever it was, in while you're already getting steamrolled by Utah State. That's a hard way to start Mountain West play. Again, yell at me, say it's an excuse or whatever, but most teams that lose their best player in the first game of conference play, they're probably not going to start conference play very well.
Yeah, no, great point. 39 minutes after the hour. All right, let's switch over to football coming up next. The Rams get a very big get, a very interesting get out of Georgia, and we'll talk about that coming up next. But first, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
All right, Kevin, I have a hard time tracking. I'm trying to follow you as much as I can in the Colorado, but the state of the transfer portal is just absolutely crazy to me. So I'll wait and read your final assessment. I mean, I've been following them, but I'm going to wait and get that final assessment and roster because it's just crazy to follow. But you can't ignore this one. Big get for CSU. Got a tight end out of Georgia and a very interesting story. And makes, you know, you outline kind of why it was possible in the first place that the Rams were able to get this guy.
Yes. Yeah, just probably will be one of the more fascinating stories, certainly at CSU, maybe in college football. So the backstory, Pierce Sperling is the kid's name. Coming out of high school, I believe he's from the Florida area. He was like a top prospect. I believe 24/7 had him as the number 2 tight end in the nation in his class, and like a top 75 or 80 player overall. So like this is elite level prospect. He came in kind of toward the end of the Brock Bowers era as basically like the next Brock Bowers. So, you know, Georgia obviously has a great history of tight ends. Obviously, Bowers was one of the best of the best. He played a little bit as a freshman, 2023, had a couple big plays. I believe, I need to go backwards, but Bowers was still there. So Bowers was running things. But I guess he had found in high school that he had a heart condition that basically they had to monitor. And sometime after his freshman year, went, you know, for a checkup, and obviously I'm not medically inclined enough to know the exact details, but basically the doctor said, like, you can't play. This has the stress signals and whatever that we're looking for are at a point where it's too dangerous for you to play football because of this. So he had to medically retire. So he stayed with Georgia. He's been on Georgia football team for the last two seasons, but as a non-player, basically a medically retired football player. So he's there and on scholarship, but not playing because of this heart condition. But then again, I can't get into the medical details because I'm not smart enough, but they find a way to fix it. He has open heart surgery. It sounds like incredibly intensive surgery, very long recovery, and he's cleared to resume full normal, whatever he wants to do, life activities. And then to make it even weirder, there's basically within the NCAA rules, if you medically retire at a program, you can't go back and play at that program. So he can't play at Georgia. So he has to enter the transfer portal. Who was one of the tight end coaches when he was playing back in 23? Price Tracy, who is now CSU's offensive coordinator. Obviously, we know that Georgia's OC is Mike Bobo. So Tracy worked for Bobo. So obviously, Pierce has been, you know, around Bobo. I would have to assume, I don't know this for a fact, but I have to assume Price and Mike Bobo have talked. Obviously, Price and Pierce have a relationship. Pierce transfers to CSU. Obviously, we'll see. Most importantly, you hope and, you know, presumably his health will be just fine. But if he can get back to that prospect he was, that's big time.
Well,
he's 6'7", 2", whatever it is. He looks like a Georgia tight end.
So is the health reason, like, I'm just going to ask it, why CSU overall? I mean, again, you outline all the background stuff. So if this guy's as good, you know.
Well, again, I don't want to speak for everyone, but you could see how some of the perhaps bigger teams would say, you know, we're not sure.
Not worth it, maybe.
And we can get other guys that, you know, maybe we know a little bit more for certain what they're going to produce. Because so there's the heart condition. Then even throwing the fact that means he hasn't played football in 2 years. And that one, that the last year he played, he didn't play a lot because he was a freshman. So it's really been 3 years since he's played a lot. So it's not guaranteed, even throw the health stuff out, it's not guaranteed that he is the player that he was thought to be in high school. So I think that's how you could see some, you know, the top level programs be like, we're interested, but we're not sure. And hey, let's be real, if he comes to CSU this year, has 110 catches for 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns, they'll come back.
Yeah.
But a relationship with Tracy, you would have to imagine, probably has an impact. And like I say, perhaps the Mike Bobo role. And for his side, kind of the opposite of the uncertainty from high P4s, from his side, he probably looks and says, well, this is a place where I feel like I have a pretty good chance to see the field. Now, CSU has signed 900 tight ends, yeah, so there's some competition there. But you can see from his side why it's like, I have some familiarity with the coach and, you know, with the offensive coordinator, and a place where I can probably see the field. So there it is.
Yeah,
it's gonna be super fascinating.
Yeah.
Obviously, first and foremost, you hope that he's just healthy, and whether he's great at football or not, he's able to, you know, live a happy, healthy life. But man, if he can get back to the prospect he was, like, what a story.
Yeah, no, I love that. Well done by you. Fascinating story there. 49 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break here on the and on the other side, we'll get to what did we learn. And then Rams Weekly coming up at 2. So we'll get into all things Colorado State, the state of college sports, where we sit today, all that and more. Coming up on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear the A1 Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
The next
Next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn today? Kevin, what did you learn today? Man, I learned from you that the Rams got a really unique tight end situation going on.
Well, that's kind of what I learned, too, but I guess I can't use that one.
Can't use that now. I already used it.
I learned that the CSU football coaching staff is on a Colorado recruiting blitz right now. Their coaches are all over. I believe they're going over the next, like, 24 hours to 50-some different schools.
So you mean they are going to kind of recruit the state of Colorado?
Well, at least from the start.
Okay. Well, I like it. Yeah. Michael, what'd you learn today? Anything? Nothing?
I learned that I need to start using trigger warnings when giving hypotheticals.
Even Kevin thought that was the dumbest thing you've ever said. And you say a lot of dumb things. It's not. It's so untrue that it's not even a hypothetical. You can't even do it.
It's a hypothetical. Hypothetically, if aliens come down to Earth.
That's more likely than trading Nikola Jokic.
Yeah, 100%.
Like an alien walking into the
studio.
They
might be coming down to watch Nikola Jokic.
Nikola Jokic
might be an alien.
That's also true. Yeah, maybe. All right, Rams Weekly coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.